Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spy.
One more time. All right, man, we in here, baby. It is game day. Welcome into the Tuesday, April 16th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Boiling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
That's a lie. He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Here we are, man, once again.
Let's get it.
Kings, Warriors, G1C, when are the season's over?
We were just talking to Kyle Madsen as they were you know, coming out of the studio and everything. And I know me personally, man, I got no idea how this is going to shape out. I got no idea. I got no real feel for how this is going to shape out. I think on the Kings side, I think the Kings are definitely going to come ready to play. I don't see that. I know I said that against New Orleans, but I don't see that game starting off the way New Orleans game started off. I think they're going to come ready to play. They're going to get this thing popping. The New Orleans games, if you look at how this team has played as of late, that's more of an anomaly. They played close games. They played really well early in games. Mm-hmm. Their slip-ups have been more so at the end of games. In recent weeks and in the last month or so, and I don't see that changing in this game. I think they'll be charged up, ready to go.
Okay.
That Pelicans game is the exception, not the rule, as of late.
Okay. You know what I it dawned on me this morning. I don't know why I hadn't thought of this before, and I guess to a degree it's understandable given the roster situation with Sacramento, with Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk being out. And also, you know, credit to the Warriors and the Lakers and the Pelicans. No one expects the Kings to win this game tonight.
Oh, absolutely not.
Home floor or not. The Kings are, I watched a couple of minutes of the really early morning Sports Center. And, they talked extensively, of course, about the Lakers and the Pelicans. They talked extensively about the Golden State Warriors. And then just as a courtesy footnote mentioned, the Kings just kind of stumbling into the play-in here. Well, that's all tonight in the NBA, and that was it. That's all that was said about Sacramento. And I guess I can't really be mad at that because it's not necessarily far from the truth. The Kings did stumble into the play-in. There's a reason for it, but, I guess that's not because at least based on what we saw on social media yesterday, Malik Monk doesn't actually exist anymore. Malik Monk had a six-man of the year campaign 72, 73 games into the season, got hurt, and now he no longer exists in the league. That was a wild thing to see on that social media. Crazy. We'll talk about that. Yeah,
especially
we'll talk about
for somebody who's starting.
I really put it over the top when he started starting. All right. But with all that said, a modest two wins and all of the frustration of the season is erased.
That's it. That's it. To your point, though, that's something that we didn't really touch on yesterday that I think is spot on, and that's, you know, the Kings aren't expected by anybody to win this game.
Nope.
I haven't seen not one person nationally say the Kings are going to win this game tonight. So, you know, they're going to go in with that underdog mentality, with that mindset that, hey, nobody expects us to win. And maybe that propels them, you know, to playing a little more freer. I don't know.
Yeah, it certainly could. One thing that I'm skeptical about as it pertains to like that free, you know, playing freely is the fact that they're at home and it's a win or go home game like game seven was last year. Mm-hmm. I think there's a certain level of tightness that comes with that, a certain level of uptightness that comes with that. And it's part of the reason that I didn't want them to have a home game. It's part of the reason I was like, hey, give me them in Phoenix. I don't care. Give me that game in Phoenix. I didn't want them to fall all the way to 10th, but like, yo, give me that game in Phoenix. I'll take that. But knowing, you know, a home game would mean they're in the ninth spot, knowing in all likelihood, a home game in the ninth spot would mean you're playing with the Warriors. That brings a little bit different, a different level of energy to that, right? If tonight's home game had been against the Lakers, there's no history there. Like, there is, but not with this.
History.
Yeah, not with this group.
Right.
Not with this group. With the Warriors, the history is very recent. One thing, though, because everyone has, and I sincerely apologize for the way that I sound, but one thing about everyone has, like, either expectations or curiosity about Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis was not involved in this last year. Keon is the guy where it's new for him.
Right.
And not only is it new for him, it's new, and man, it is in a high profile position. Cause I think he's gonna be guarding Steph Curry out the gate, but I don't know. But I think he would.
I mean, I definitely think that could happen. You think they'll go with Keon over Keegan to start him off? Maybe use Keegan as like a, you know, change of pace.
So Keon on Clay? Where's Keon then?
Keon would probably, if Keegan is guarding, Steph. If Keegan's guarding Steph, Keon would probably go to Wiggins and Fox on Clay. Or they could switch that up, one of the two. Because I think Clay will be less involved in any type of action as far as, like, so for instance, if you put Fox on Wiggins, you know, they might try and post him up. They might try and run some action for him and create that mismatch. I think Clay is less of that. He's more of catch and shoot and things of that nature. And that's why I think maybe you put Fox on Clay.
Would you be better off having Fox on Steph?
I think he's going to see some time on
Steph. So here's why I asked that, though. You got the league leader in steals. If he's on Clay, Clay's a guy who doesn't put the ball on the floor a lot. Do you take away one of your best defenders' best attributes if he's guarding Clay Thompson versus Steph Curry?
Well, and this is the thing. Fox does a really good job of getting his steals off the bounce, but I think he also does a really good job of playing the passing lane, and that's where guarding Clay, maybe you can get into those passing lanes. Like your best attribute against steals off the dribble with Steph, he's got an airtight handle. Like he doesn't really, that don't happen. You know what I'm saying? So I could see him more so if he's guarding Clay or Wiggins, you know, playing the passing lanes, getting his hands, you know, in getting his dig hand in there sometimes, getting steals off the ball a little bit more. So that's an aspect to it, but you're right. I mean, his signature is, you know, getting the steal when you try to spin or you think you're behind him or something like that, mm-hmm. or in front of him, and he's able to get that steal. So that's his signature, and that could be the case. He could be on Steph. I think he's going to see some time on Steph. Mm-hmm. I think Fox, Keegan, Keon, Davion all will see time on Steph Curry. Coach Brown and Jordy, shout out Jordy.
Yeah,
they're going to use the ability of having all four guys on in that rotation able to guard Steph to its maximum capability.
Mm.
So I think you're going to, throughout three quarters at least, you're going to see different looks on Steph, and then they'll settle into who they want to close the game out guarding Steph. But I think all four of those guys are going to have an opportunity to guard Chef Curry.
Okay. I'm looking at, man, I'm looking back at these box scores from this year. Mm. Just the Kings-Warriors box scores. Goodness gracious, man. These teams just fight. These teams just fight. Is Clay back to starting? Because Clay started.
I think Clay
started all of the games against Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've noted, they haven't played since January. Mm-hmm. Both teams have gone through a little bit of a shift because Keon didn't start any of these. In fact, the last time these two teams played, man, I don't think Keon has played, period.
I'm trying to think if he got – I thought he got one of the games in Chase Center.
Keon – no, he got a few minutes here.
Okay.
He got a few minutes in the 124-123 game.
Got you.
But other than that, yeah, no Keon Ellis minutes. So there have been like little subtle shifts throughout the season, particularly since, you know, February or so, for these two teams.
And Keon is he really is. I don't want to make too much of it, but he is a different player that is added to what the Kings are now. You know, I was just doing the research and looking at different things. Statistically, they're one of the top teams in the league since around the 1st of March, you know, and they're top teams defensively. And that has a lot to do with Keon Ellis being in the lineup and what he provides. It also has a lot to do with Davion Mitchell and what he provides. And the other thing is, those two doing what they're doing on the perimeter, it also unlocks De'Aaron Fox to roam a little bit or preserve a little bit of energy on the defensive end. And that's elevated his game defensively as well. So it is a – I don't want to say it's a completely different team and over-exaggerated, but there are different components to this team that the Warriors haven't seen this year.
All right, we'll come back. We obviously have a lot to talk about as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Our man Mark Haynes is going to join us. Trista Crick's going to be with us. Will Z is going to be with us. Guru's going to join us in the final hour of the show. So much ahead, man. Shout out to Steiny and Guru. We got a chance to talk to those guys a little bit before they realized I sound like hell and I was ruining their broadcast, so they threw me off the air. You mentioned Jordy Fernandez. I guess congratulations are in order.
Yeah, man.
We'll talk about Jordy and his next move here and what that might mean for the Sacramento Kings when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Come on, man.
All right, man. It's game.
Come on,
day.
Sacramento. Come on, Sacramento. Look what's on the damn screen here in the studios. Don't nobody care about what that boy did in game 7? Don't nobody care about that. Why we got to keep seeing that?
Last two seasons versus the Kings, 32.8 points per game. It's the third most versus any opponent, including the playoffs. Mm. That, of course, is Steph Curry.
Curry is back in the Golden One Center.
What I love,
put the Kings away.
What I love about stats like that, like 32.8 points per game against the Kings. Like, all right, cool. Like, it's probably like 27 or 28 versus every other team in the league.
Right.
It's not like it's 20 or 18.
Right.
And he just lights up the Kings. Like, no, I mean, I think I'm versed enough in the Golden State Warriors to know Steph's pretty good.
The crazy thing about that stat, though, is 32.8 points per game over two seasons. We outlined it a little bit yesterday. It's probably like 25 games. It's a lot of games.
Yeah.
It's not
like,
you know, normally you see something like that and it's in 7 games or something like that. Like, nah, they played 13 games in the last calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So you add another 4 on, or excuse me, another 3 on from last year. That puts you at 16 games that they played in the last two seasons. Man, 32 a night. He's a bad boy, man. He's a bad boy. You can't stop Steph Curry. Nobody's saying that. But I do think they are equipped to make him work tonight with Keegan, Keon, Davion, and Fox. They should be able to make him work. And I think that's the key. If you can make him work, maybe, hopefully, wear him down a little bit where maybe the legs aren't there in the fourth quarter. I don't think that'll be an issue. He didn't even play in that final game of the season on Sunday. So he's going on. He didn't play since Friday. So he's going on a good amount of rest. So I wouldn't expect like the legs to be an issue. But you never know. You know what I mean? If he's got to play 42 minutes or something like that, and you're guarding him full court and giving different looks at him the whole time, maybe that might play a factor come 3 minutes left into the game.
I'm watching Malik hit clutch baskets in that. Look at that in-season tournament court. Boy, I almost forgot what that looks like.
Man. Gonna miss Malik, man.
Man, you
gonna
ain't
miss
lying.
Him tonight.
Malik hit. Did he hit both of these?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that one. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're running through all of the different ways that these Warriors-Kings games have ended. Man, incredible. That in-season tournament game. My goodness. My goodness.
And that was electric, man.
And Steph still had the ball, just like game one last year.
Yeah.
Steph still had the ball in his hands with a chance to, I guess game one was to tie. It wasn't to win.
To tie, yeah. And now they're showing the January 25th game. That was kind of slept on, man. That's the game Harrison went crazy.
Yeah, 39 for HB in that one.
And
yep. The
end of that game, too, with Steph.
Domas at the basket.
With Steph getting stripped or losing the ball. And De'Aaron picking it up and
doing
the 360 windmill, not shot.
Right.
So these two teams, I mean, history says that we're in.
Look at that defense by Kevin Herter.
Mr. KH. Look at him. There goes De'Aaron. Oh, I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was either.
But history says these two teams are going to play a tight game.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play a tight game. Can I handle a tight game tonight? I might not have a choice, but oh, man. These dudes going down to the wire tonight at the Golden One Center while I'm in attendance. Stressed.
Yes.
Oh, Harriet. I'm coming to see you, Elizabeth.
I'm coming home.
Man.
I'm coming home, Elizabeth.
Ooh.
And Jordy's headed to Brooklyn.
Congratulations, Jordy.
Bye.
Air horns for him, man. Going and getting his first coaching job, his first head coaching job, man. That's really dope to see.
Yeah, by all accounts, Jordy Fernandez is in fact headed to the Brooklyn Nets to be their new head coach. That's a tough loss for Mike Brown. It's a tough loss for Mike Brown, though I'm sure he was more than well aware that that was on its way.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this that I don't think we take into account very often is a lot of times when an assistant leaves a franchise, he, you know, takes a few people with him. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if that's the case for Jordy. Do guys on Mike's coaching staff go with Jordy to help him get situated in Brooklyn? You know, chances to be, you know, the lead assistants, chances to be front row assistants. This could be, you know, development coaches. This could be a number of different people in the organization. But congrats to Jordy, man. It's a big deal for him.
Absolutely.
Something we knew was coming. And I'm curious to see how this shakes out for the rest of the Sacramento Kings coaching staff.
Yeah, man, especially when you think about Jordy's journey, so to speak, and how he even got here. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was, I think the story, he was at like a 24-hour fitness or something like that. And I think Mike Brown saw him working with some other kids and said, hey, can you train my kid or something like that? And going from that to now you're an NBA head coach.
Yeah.
That's an amazing, that's a great story, man. That's a great story. I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, just tremendous for Jordy. I'm not sure what Mike will say today, if anything. Sometimes they keep that stuff, you know, till the end of the season. I think that's even what happened with Mike when he became the Kings head coach. He was still with the Warriors. Steve was asked about it and, you know, kind of deflected.
Right.
So they may wait until the Kings season is officially over before anything gets addressed from Mike Brown in for Jordy as well.
Yeah.
We were talking a moment ago about the Kings aren't expected to win this game, or no one expects the Kings to win this game. It dawned on me this morning that the Warriors should probably win this game. And the reason for that is, like, I'm trying to think about this from a, like, a Kings fan perspective. If, and I don't know who the two equivalent players are, but if two key contributors, including a closer, were missing from the Golden State Warriors, would we look at losing to them as, that'd be a tough loss? Be a bad loss. Like, they're without such and such and such and such. We can't lose to them.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, you know, the folks with the Golden State Warriors feel the same way. Like, yo, that's the Kings. We know them. Probably better than them anyways, but they're without Malik and Kevin Huerter. This be a bad loss if we lose.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's how they feel. Because thinking about it this morning, like, I wouldn't fault anybody who felt that way.
No, man. No, I understand they're the Vegas favorites. That's understandable, even if they are playing on the road. And just people talking about the game, it should be the favorite. I mean, not having Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, regardless of how much fight I think this team has and, you know, and how I think they're going to come out and play, and I do think they have a shot to win, that's damning, you know, the fact that they don't have those two guys. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, if you are looking at it from the Warriors' perspective, yes, they should win that game. They should take care of business. But like we mentioned yesterday, like we'll continue to say, it's a one-game situation. Anything could happen in one game. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the thing. That's where I would, if I was, you know, 95-7 and I was talking about the Warriors should win this game, I still wouldn't be able to go all the way there. Because it is just one game. If it was a series, ain't no way they win a four-game series with us with that depleted roster.
Right.
Like, that ain't happening. But one game, Keegan Murray could go for 33. Fox could go for 33. Sopponen could go for 27. Keon could give you 20. You know, Trey Lyles might give you – you know what I mean? Like, anything could happen in a one-game scenario. And the Kings aren't no pushovers either. This ain't no disrespect, but the Hawks and the Bulls. You know what I mean? This is a serious team. That's playing with a lot of pride on the road. Golden 1 Center is going to be going crazy. There's definitely reasons to be on guard in this situation, I would think.
Yeah.
But your original point stands. Like, yeah, I get anybody that says the Warriors should win this game.
Sure. Guru asked me about an hour ago what the vibe was like right now versus the vibe last year in Game 7. And I told him I felt like, obviously, a very, you know, subjective and opinionated question. I feel like we're pretty in tune, but I feel like the vibe is very, very different. The vibe last year in Game 7, I think there was a lot of confidence going into Game 7. I think that was a, hey, we got a really good team. We're home. We played this team really well. Yeah, I think there was a lot of confidence in that game. I don't know that same confidence is here today. I think everybody is kind of in the middle with this. Like, I'm going to root for the Sacramento Kings. I'm going to cheer on the Sacramento Kings. I'm going to hope that the Kings win. But I feel like there's a certain level of, yeah, but we get it. We get it. It's a one-game scenario. We're without Malik. We're without Kevin Huerter. I think we could do it. And I think a lot of people feel the same way you do. Keegan, HB, Domas, De'Aaron, they're all, that group of individuals, all very capable of doing it. But I think the mood headed into this game is a little bit different than Game 7.
It's definitely different, and I think you've got the injuries that we're talking about as well. But even if they didn't have the injuries, there are some people who I think they're wrong. I think that I don't agree with them at all. There's some people that already look at this season as a failure because you fell back and you got a play in the play-in at this time and you were the ninth seed. So regardless if they had Monk or Huerter, they would look at it like, man, you slip back. As opposed to last year going into Game 7 where there was almost a sense of, you know, I don't want to say complacency, but after they were able to bounce back and win that Game 6,
yeah,
there were some vibes of, man, shout out to you for winning that game mm-hmm. and bringing it back home.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens here today happens here now. But you pushed the world champs. They were the world champs at that point. You pushed them to the limit. You went in to the dental office and won a game that no one thought you would be able to win.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, salute to that. That was almost the vibe going into Game 7. Going into this one tonight, I think there's some disappointment going on. And that's before you talk about the injuries. Like, people were, and I, once again, I don't agree. They're very disappointed with this team throughout the year because of some of the things, the expectations that they had, the individuals
mm-hmm.
that are feeling this way,
mm-hmm.
expectations that the team said they had, and then also the way they executed or their lack of execution a lot of the times this season. There's a lot of frustration. So I think all of that plays into kind of the way people are looking at this game as opposed to Game 7 last year.
Can I bring a little, like, counterpoint to those people who feel that way about the Kings season being
Absolutely.
A failure? The Warriors finished this year 2 games better than they did last season. The Warriors finished 2 games better and 4 slots worse than they did last season. Are they a failure? Is their season a failure? Because I don't think we're focused on the number of games that the team won. We could be frustrated about a million things as Kings fans if you want to be. And I won't tell anybody to not be frustrated about Phoenix and Milwaukee and the 275 win percentage teams. I won't tell nobody how to feel about that. But I think we get hung up on the 3. We get hung up on the placement in the standings and not the number of victories they had. They had 48 wins last year.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel however you want to about the end of the season, but there have been people who have been very inconsistent. A lot of fans have been very inconsistent with how they've graded, you know, the Kings play last year.
Mm-hmm.
But 48 wins was fine. They finished with 46 this year. It's not as good. There's no question about that. But I've maintained since this started to transpire, people don't, it's not the 46 that people feel a specific way about. It's the 3. It's the 3 versus the 9. That's what people feel something about. And it's just the makeup of Oklahoma City took a significantly bigger jump than I think almost everybody. Like, if anybody told you Oklahoma City was going to be number 1, they was standing or lying, like one or the other. Like, there was certainly an improvement. That's a plus 17 improvement. That's crazy. Minnesota, didn't see this from them either. You could have told me LA was up there again, meaning the Clippers. You could have told me they were up there. The Denver Nuggets, yeah, you could have told me that. But these two teams with nearly, you know, plus 15, 16, 17 win differential, man, yeah, you couldn't have predicted that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have predicted that. I think most people couldn't have predicted that. But this is less the games that they won and more where they finished in the standings. Mm. That's got everybody riled up.
I don't disagree, but do you think we should tell the whole story, right? The story of this season. Do you think that plays into how people feel about this team?
Yeah, that's what I said.
So, but like when I say that, let's say, for instance, the Kings won all those games against Detroit, Washington,
Charlotte,
all those other teams, and they lost four games to Denver and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And the record is what it is right now. But they won those games they were supposed to lose, mm-hmm. and it was more of a truer sense of what we thought it might be against the Denver and the Lakers. They play eight games. If it was 4-4 mm-hmm. or 3-5, however that played out, do you think people would still look at this team at same seeding, same number, as like, oh, man, they didn't live up to expectations, or they regressed or something like that? Because I think these games – and then, look, we'll throw in another scenario. If they didn't have as many lost 20-point leads as they did. Like, if they were just kind of even keel, you know, all year and play to the numbers
all year. The 20-point lead thing was only four games.
People have been talking about that. Now people are talking about double-digit leads and all. Like, they find
well,
it.
Well, wait a minute. If we're doing double-digit leads, do that with the Warriors. Do that with the rest of the league.
I understand, but that's not how this works. You know that. That's not how this works. The Kings are 21-5 against teams under 500, but they can't beat 500 teams. They can't handle games against they play down to their competition. That 21-5 is like fifth in the league.
But is that the official record?
Yeah. Mm. But they play down to their competition. That's the narrative. That's what's being said.
Yeah, we went over this. The 21-5. It's not the 500. It's the 275. It's the bad teams. That's what we're talking about. That's what people get hung up on. It's the bad teams.
But that's what I'm saying. Like they
because four of those were against the four of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah,
four of the five losses.
So, but my whole thought is, I think part of how people are not feeling the same or feeling confident is because of that. Those games lost to those teams. If things were just, you know, they played to the averages. Like, yeah,
my guess to answer your question, like, no, I think it would be the same. People would, because I think people look for little moments to put an exclamation point on their grander point. And I think the grander point would have been exactly the same if they had lost the equivalent amount of games to Denver and, say, Los Angeles mm-hmm. instead of those bad teams we were talking about. And it would be Monty didn't do enough. Monty didn't do enough.
That's the other thing. People already came into the season upset because they didn't do nothing in the offseason.
That's it. I think you said that perfectly. People already came into the season upset. So you came in with a if you read a movie review or an album review, like if I read a review that says, you know, Drake's got a new album coming out Friday, and I read this review and the review says Drake's the production is bad, the rhymes are bad, Drake is ass, and I go listen to the album, I got that review in my head. Now I'm listening to the production differently. I'm listening to the rhymes differently. Yeah. I'm listening to the whole album differently because I read this review. So I went in with a preconceived opinion based on someone else's opinion about an album. People form their opinion on the Sacramento Kings before they ever played a game. Mm-hmm. They didn't do enough. Running it back was the wrong call. Mm-hmm. And you lose to Denver and Los Angeles, see, Told you, running it back was the wrong call. You lose to Portland, Charlotte. See, I told you, running it back was the wrong call. You already felt a certain way about the team. And nothing was going to change that beyond what you believe is a successful season. And that fluctuates. If the Kings had finished with 50 wins, but losing the first round, if the Kings had finished third again with 50, goddamn, it would have been 57 wins.
Ooh.
You still would have felt the same if they didn't advance in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You still would have felt a certain type of way because your expectations for the team would continue to adjust.
Right.
They lose in the – you beat the Warriors – excuse me. You beat the Lakers four times in a season, mm-hmm. but you play the Lakers in the second round and lose to them. Mm-hmm. We beat them in the regular season, could beat them in the playoff. Like your expectations will adjust as the season continues.
Yeah.
And so you went in feeling some type of way, and the Kings weren't able to change the way that you already felt before they ever played a game.
And one of the things that happens a lot in like covering sports and people that follow sports and stuff like that, I see Alex, and I'm not, I promise you, Alex, this has nothing to do with you. Like, I was already thinking about it, and then I looked over at the chat and you put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this whole notion of, he says in the chat, accountability for Monty. We got to hold the GM accountable, and we got to hold these guys accountable and all this stuff. So we're going to be really tough on them. Even if it's not even really reasonable. And you can make an argument for almost anything. Like, if you're good at making arguments, if you went to debate class, or, you know, if you can make an argument for anything, right? But, like, the whole thing about yesterday when we were like, the Kings are bad. They've been playing bad. And I'm like, well, they ain't been playing bad. They just haven't been playing good enough to win. And we both give our sides for that. I think a lot of that goes on. Where it's just like, well, we got a reason why we're feeling this way. We got to hold them accountable. Well, there's a whole lot to the story that we try to put out there when it talks about improving the roster and doing things as much as we can. You know what I mean? But there's a whole different story that maybe the general public doesn't know about, which goes to show like, hey, there's more to it than just I want to sign this player, I want to trade for this player, yeah. and I'm going to go do it. Like, there's a whole lot more to it. So the fact that, like, hey, we got to hold them accountable for not doing what they're supposed to do, it's you don't snap your fingers, you know, and things happen. Sometimes you've got to work around some stuff. Sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes you're not able to do it, even if you want to.
If you're a Kings fan and you have a player in your head that you really wanted Sacramento to go after, there's a good chance they probably did.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was OG or Pascal Siakam or someone else, the chances that the Kings inquired about that player that you have in your head is very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times everyone is aware or should be aware at this point. This is a player-driven league. This is a league where the players have far more control over where they play and what they do than, say, the National Football League or even Major League Baseball, right? They tried.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple that we know emphatically they tried.
Mm-hmm.
If you followed the stories throughout the offseason, they tried. If you were with T-Lo and KC through the offseason, through the trade deadline, you know they tried. And you could be mad that they didn't, but you also have to be aware of there's probably a reason they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Two players we just mentioned, Siakam and OG Anunoby. Both of those guys have a lot of control. Both of those guys have all of the control mm-hmm. over what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana and New York, respectively, they did not make those deals not knowing what those guys' intentions were.
Mm-hmm.
Letter of the law? Of course they did. Of course they didn't know. Oh, they hope. They want to win them over.
They're just, you know, they just hope letter of the law. It works out.
We just want to win them over.
Yeah.
Reality, everybody involved knows what time it is.
Right.
And Monty and the Sacramento Kings, specifically, weren't in the same position that the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers were in. And in one of those, I really would have liked to have OG here. I can't see a situation where I would have comfortably have paid Pascal Siakam the amount of money that he wants. And I think you, listening, you'd hate it too in a year. You would be furious at that deal in a year. And I think the Pacers might be two in time.
The other thing about this, and I think we've talked about this, but I'll bring it up again. And I'm just gonna throw out a blanketed scenario, right? Hear me when I say this. Hear me when D'Lo talks about this as well. Sometimes, hey, the game is the game, right? The game is the game. And sometimes if you want, say, for instance, if you want a certain player and maybe his agent is somebody that you're dealing with right now, sometimes you've got to do things with the player that you're dealing with right now so you can get in the good graces of the agent of the player that you want here long term.
Talk about it.
And I ain't going to say no names.
Yep.
But
yep.
Sometimes you got to be like, man, like if we're talking just basketball and what you want to do, man, I kind of don't want to sign this guy or I want to move on from this guy or something like that.
Yep.
But his agent is the agent of this player that I really want in the future, and I don't want to make him mad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making a decision right now that the guy that I want in the future is more important than pissing this agent off right now.
And that agent might already not like you.
You know what I mean? That's why I'm telling you, it's a game, man. It's not as simple as...
or it might not be you. It might be your boss.
Right, right. It's not as simple as just, hey, I like player 22 over there. Let me go get him.
Yeah.
You know, there are some moving parts that go on, and there's a lot of navigating the waters that you got to do. So that's why I'm always a little sensitive to people who are just like, he just ran it back.
Yeah.
Number one, like you mentioned, he tried. Number two, there's some things at play that y'all won't hear from us, but just tell me they're at play.
Yeah, there's I mean, we could go to the public stuff because we talked about this as it was happening. I just saw what time it was, so that'll be the tease. We'll get you caught up, man. We'll continue to talk. We got a long guest list, so we don't want to mess up these commercial breaks. It's D'Lo and KC.
Come on, baby. It's game day, baby. We turn it up, my man. You know, I'm Scottie Pippen. He's Jordan. You know, we doing this. We getting to the Golden 1 Center one way or another today, baby. Come on, man.
You carrying my ass off the floor. That's for sure. It's D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320.
That's right. I'm going to make sure that's the right one to send it. But
I got another one. I don't know what link we've sent Guru the thing, but I know Dallas Cowboys is going to be in there somewhere.
Does Shasky have the craziest email we've ever had to use and send something
Shask,
to?
It's not the craziest.
Not
it's
crazy,
the
but
worst.
It's just, yeah.
It is by far the worst email we've ever had to send a link to.
Yeah, that one's.
He put every name he has in his email.
The real quick, pull the curtain back just a little bit. Mark Haynes is 130.
Okay.
We had to switch it up a little bit. 130. Got the link for him, so it'll be 130.
Mark Haynes.
The other thing.
TK coming up at 2.
Shout out TK. And, you know, I see EG in there, man. You know what I'm saying? Did you see me on the morning roast this morning? Did you see they was trying to play me a little bit, man? I don't know what happened with the phone or whatever the case may be. The phone was in and out. But they were like, yeah, what year is your phone in? Is it 2004? You need to get your service. I told them like this. I said, look, the reality is I don't know what kind of crazy setup this is to get on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling me on the phone. I'm on a Zoom. My audio's from the phone, not from the video. I said, I don't know. What is this?
You got to sit that one out at that point. Yeah. When you get the stream, but I'm talking to you through the phone. Like, yeah. Like that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. But don't talk to me about my phone.
95.7. Yeah, 95.7 is a walking L when it comes to their live stream.
You come over here to D'Lo and KC. You get the link, boom, you in here. Sounds good. Everything's good. We pop it.
You could click the link from your phone. You could click the link from your iPad, from your computer. You could click the link from anywhere. You don't have to get your earbuds and then call and then click the link for the Zoom and then turn the audio off on the Zoom because it's gonna come through the phone. Like, come on, fellas.
Man, come on. They need to just They need to listen to us again. We'll tell them how to set it up. You know what I mean? We'll hook it up. We got you.
We have walked our little brothers.
We
can only take our little brother so far. Like, they've got to, at some point, they've got to fly on their own. we've laid the blueprint out for them. If they're going to have all these missteps, they still working on Zoom.
Come on, man.
Like, y'all, it's 2024.
What are we doing out here, mister?
Y'all operating.
StreamYard been around for a long time now.
Y'all out here operating like the pandemic started yesterday. And everybody just figured out what Zoom was. Like, get off Zoom. Come over to one of the big boy platforms. And y'all will be just fine.
That's all it is. Y'all will be just fine. Real quick, I just wanted to say something. I know we're going to talk about this, but this just came across. I just wanted to get your reaction. Did you see what Dylan Brooks had to say about Team USA?
Dylan Brooks?
Dylan.
I did not.
I can't wait for Bears. They gotta play. Dylan Brooks on Team USA's roster. Quote, "I honestly think it's funny. All these guys teaming up just to try and beat me in Canada. We'll see what happens. I feel like Drake. Drop and give me 50. End quote.
I can't lie. I'm all in. Like, if you're going to play the role and, like, feed into it, like, we're good.
He said, "I honestly think it's funny, man. All these guys teaming up to just beat me in Canada."
That's
no, man, I can't even, bro, man. I kind of like Dylan Brooks. I kind of like Dylan Brooks.
Canada's just Dylan Brooks and some dudes.
That's amazing. Jordy's on that staff, isn't he?
He is. He's the head coach.
He's the head coach of the staff. Head coach of the team.
Man.
Shout out Jordy.
Dylan's
That's
funny,
amazing. Man. Dylan Brooks is funny.
He is funny. Sometimes he'd be doing a little too much. I ain't going front, but most of the time he just makes me laugh.
Drop it, give me 50. That's funny.
He just make me laugh, man. So, look, let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
It's been about 24 hours. You're a little bit more removed from the end of the season and from Sunday. Anything, has your feelings about tonight changed at all? Like, are you feeling a little bit better for the Kings? Do you see a little, you know, clearer path to victory? How you feeling?
I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel bad about the Kings or the game. No, I didn't mean to give off that impression. My struggle was as fun quotations as the Kings Warriors thing is, like, I keep thinking, yo, Kings might not tweet out that Bonte in front of the bean pick. But in the end, like, I don't want to do that because, you know, job's not done.
No, we tweeting that out. We tweeting it out, man. We'll worry about Friday on, like, Thursday.
And you're right, right? Like, you celebrate the victories. But in the end, it's like you didn't make the playoffs. Like, the goal is not accomplished yet. And that's the most difficult part for me with the 9-10 matchup is you win, but you don't advance. You just don't get eliminated.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. People, like, want to equate it to the NCAA tournament, but it's not because you have two teams advancing. Mm. Well, one team just doesn't get eliminated, and the other team actually lost. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's different. Then you get into the game on Friday where it's okay. Winner actually moves forward.
Right.
My hang-up about the game against the Warriors wasn't the Warriors or the Kings' ability to win. It was winning the game doesn't achieve the goal, right? So it's like, all right, if they win, cool. Mm. They have to win another one.
No,
like,
they
have to win another game. Or it's, I know how badly everyone wants to beat the Warriors.
Yes.
Like, I get that. But the fact is, if you lose tonight or you lose Friday, it doesn't mean one thing. It doesn't mean any different.
I'll push back just a little bit.
Okay.
I agree. And we said it earlier, in your goals for the season, it wasn't send the Warriors home as a goal. Your goal was to make the playoffs. So if you win tonight and you lose on Friday, you didn't reach your goal. Right. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
And that is disappointing in itself. But if they were to win tonight, it's not the same as if they beat the Jazz. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is an element of there is something brewing. It is a little personal right now. And like I said, we're not going to talk about that in June, but for a day or two. So we sent y'all packing.
The idea is, okay, you didn't advance, but you eliminated them.
Exactly.
And that, like, and it's like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I guess I just want it. I just don't want that to be the thing. I want it to be the Kings made the playoffs, not that they kept the Warriors from making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I would feel completely different with these two teams if this was the 7-8. Mm. I'd feel completely different. Mm. But knowing that a win tonight just gets you another play-in game has me like, all right, get through tonight. One game at a time, right? Mm. Win tonight. Have the opportunity to play Friday. I'll take it. I just am going to be a little careful about if the Kings get the dub.
Oh, I've got drafts ready.
Well, I say that knowing the Kings pull one out. Like, I'm finding that Vontae Hill picture.
Look at that. Look at the golden one center. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I feel like after today. Like,
Kendra got the Winhurst cam. She looks significantly better than Winhurst does.
Yes.
But
I feel like if the Kings win tonight, you don't necessarily celebrate it because, like, they beat the Warriors. Or it's like, they won a game. But, I mean, coming out of the game, they do win tonight. Like, you got one on Friday against a team who just lost. Mm. Like, you are coming in with a bit of confidence or whatever. And against the Pelicans, it's like, kind of take Kenny's things. Like, yeah, it's been kind of not great against them. But it's like, you are due. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you're coming in with some momentum or whatever and turn it on the side. It's the Lakers, like, you've handled them all year.
Yeah.
So I guess there is some momentum going into, like, Friday's game, too, if they do win, though.
Yeah, there could be a certain level of exercising a demon, too. Mm-hmm. There could be a certain level of, hey, we did it without Malik. Like, we won a big game without Malik and Kevin. Like, we've showed we could do this.
And isn't that one of the things that's I don't think we talk about it enough or too much, and could help them going into a potential game on Friday. If they're able to win a game here tonight without Malik, especially if it's close, that's really been the thing.
Yeah,
that's really, and this is what we talk about. They're a bad team or they've been playing bad. I don't think they have because they haven't been playing bad. They haven't found a way without Malik Monk to close out games.
Yeah.
And if you go into this game and you play the way you played in these other games for three quarters, but then you get into that fourth and it gets a little tight and you find a way to win, that could be, we got over that hump. We found a way to get it done without Malik. Now let's go do this thing on Friday because we had everything else kind of going. We knew how to come out and start and play well. We knew how to have build a big-time lead. We knew how to do all this stuff. We just couldn't maintain it without Malik Monk. Well, guess what? Tonight we maintained it and we won. Let's go carry that over to whoever we play on Friday. And that could also be a mental hurdle if they're able to take care of business and win this game tonight.
The since Malik Monk's injury, the Kings lost that close game Friday night versus Dallas. Mm. They beat the Jazz. They beat the Clippers. Mm. Blew a 20-point lead against the Knicks. Mm. Lost that one. Lost by one to the Celtics.
Couldn't finish.
Beat the Nets. Mm-hmm. Blew a 20-point lead versus the Thunder.
Couldn't finish.
Just got beat up by New Orleans.
Yeah. That was just a beat down.
Lost a 1-point game to Phoenix.
Couldn't finish.
Beat the Blazers.
Finished.
There's a lot of there's a lot of credence to what you just said right there.
So it could be a morale boost if you get one in this,
especially if it's another one of those 1-point, one possession games late.
Because I feel like that's what this team is looking at. Real quick, you're listening to ESPN 1320, KIFM West Sacramento on Odyssey Station. You can also listen to us on 98.5 KHD. HD2?
That's pretty close. I think that was it.
KRX. QHD2.
It's good.
98.5. Yeah,
you have all the puzzle pieces in front of you. Now it's just a matter of putting them in the right spots.
Good.
You could also listen on the Odyssey app and on your home speaker. Just say Alexa, play ESPN 1320.
That's good. That's good. Get your stuff off. That's good.
KC is brought to you by Sky River Casino as well.
Boy, I told you. This dude's carrying me to the sideline right now. You see that?
Throw in a 1320 TV on YouTube as well.
To follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Facebook, stay away, though.
Boy, cooking right now. I saw this. She has to be. Is Bonte coming on? Well, unfortunately, our brother Bonte can't be with us today.
Shout out B, man. Shout out B.
And I'm just going to leave it at that because no one's going to know why our brother Bonte can't be with us today.
No, it's just going to fall into the abyss.
Yeah, it's going to fall into the abyss with it, everything else over there. But shout out to our brother Bonte for the heads up yesterday.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.